Welcome everyone along today to our morning worship service here in Karatz, and hello to those who may be listening later on to a recording of this service. I'll just do the announcements before we come to our worship. This evening, 7:10, there'll be a prayer time here at the front of the church building prior to our evening worship. Evening service is 7:30, and again, leaving every other pew empty for social distancing purposes. Tomorrow, Monday the 4th, the Ministers' Fraternal meets, different time from usual, 10:45 in Ballymoney. And then it's the first Monday in the month is the monthly online prayer time for Northern Presbytery congregations, and that's 7:30 tomorrow evening. Tuesday evening then at 8 o'clock, the session is due to meet, a monthly meeting of session. Friday evening in Brady RP Church at 7 o'clock is the ordination and installation of Paul Wallace as a minister in Brady. There's a question mark after the CY. CY does meet on Friday night, and that's the usual time, 8 o'clock through to 9:30. And there'll be one further meeting of the CY beyond this Friday night, and that will be announced in due course. Next Lord's Day, then Sabbath school classes at 11 a.m., and that'll be the final one before the Easter holidays break. There'll be no classes on the 17th and the 24th of April. Prayer meeting and evening worship and morning service as we have today. And I'll just mention now that on the 17th of April, I'll not be here. I'm going to be on holidays for a few days at that time. And I have booked my nephew, Stephen, to come and take the services in Karatz. And he's promised me he's going to keep between the hedges. He will. He does intend to be back for the evening service this time, not like last time when he ended up in a field on a wet day. So Stephen Fallows is due to preach here on the 17th of April. The Go Relief team that was planned to be a team going to Moldova in August, but because of the situation in neighbouring Ukraine, that has been cancelled. And there may be some local projects done during the summer, and if that is the case, there'll be information later about that. The Ukraine appeal, then, the offering from Karatz amounted to £2,410, and at the start of last week, the total across our congregations had reached about 35,000, but that was there'll be more than that, but that's what it was early last week. RP Summer Camps, the application forms are now available on the RP Church website, and young folk who are still in education will get half of the costs of the camps covered by the congregation, as has been the case in the past. Then ladies are invited to a series of events in Ballylagan. The Ballylagan ladies are holding on three Wednesday evenings in April, 13th, 20th and 27th at 7:30, a walk, talk and eat evening. There's a walk, or there are gentle exercises indoors as an alternative to that. And then there's a healthy supper. And then some of the ladies who serve as medical professionals in Ballylagan will be giving their testimony, different person each night. So that's three Wednesday nights, 7:30 in Ballylagan. And those are the announcements then for the week ahead. So we'll come to God in worship now, and we sing His praise. Turning to sing from Psalm 96, the A version of Psalm 96. We sing part of that portion of praise, and the tune we use is Blind Wern, number 255. 96A, singing stanzas 5 through to 10. And these words remind us of the greatness of the God that we come to worship. To the Lord ascribe the glory, which unto his name is due, and into his courts then come and bring an offering with you. Clothed in holiness and beauty, come and do the Lord adore. Likewise, let all earth throughout now tremble his great face before. Say to nations all, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is steadfastly fixed from moving. He will judge the peoples all with equity. And we come to worship a God who is great, altogether greater than anyone or anything else. And we are to tremble before him as we recognize his greatness. And we are to ascribe glory unto him and to him alone. So Psalm 96a, we sing stanzas 5 to 10, the tune 255. We stand to sing and remain standing then for prayer. Let us unite in worshiping God. Let us pray. Lord, our gracious God in heaven, we come before you now in worship, and we come, O Lord, acknowledging that you are the judge of all the earth. And, O Lord, we tremble before your holiness, and we know, O Lord, that in ourselves we are not fit to appear before you in judgment. And, O Lord, we could not stand in the place of judgment if we stood in our own merits. But we thank you, Lord, that you have provided the Savior that we need in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he can stand, and be commended for all that he has done, that no fault will be found with him, but in all you see in him, you are well pleased. And, O Lord, we thank you for your wonderful way of salvation, by which we are, as sinners, united with the Lord Jesus Christ when we believe in him, and that all that is true of him becomes true of us, and that you see us as you see your only begotten Son. We thank you for that wonderful way of salvation. Lord, we pray for people throughout the earth who are seeking their own way of salvation, who are seeking to save themselves, who are trusting in their own efforts and their own goodness. And Lord, we pray that you will help them to see the hopelessness of that, to see that you will not be satisfied by that. And so, Lord, we pray that in your mercy, people will see that the Christian message is one that is different from all other messages. We pray that people will come to see that great Savior that you have provided, and will understand their need to be united with him. Be with us this day as we gather in to seek to bring you our worship. We thank you, Lord, for all who are able to be here today. Lord, we remember others not able to be among us, and we pray for your help and comfort for them in their different places. We ask, Father, that you will help us to think about your truth, the things that you've put into the Scriptures for our benefit. And we pray, O Lord, that these things will not be lost upon us today, but that you would cause them to penetrate our thinking and to lodge in our minds and in our hearts. Forgive us our sins, O Lord, we pray. We ask all through Jesus Christ, that one mediator that you have provided between God and man. In his name, amen. Now let us read together from the Scriptures. If you turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke. And I want to read the opening 11 verses in Luke chapter 5, which you'll find on page 909 in our church Bible. And then also want to turn over to the book of Acts and read some verses in Acts chapter 2. We read God's word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and from the beginning of the chapter. This is God's word. So it was, as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he, as Jesus, sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. from now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. And then we read also in Acts chapter 2, where we're told of that same man, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, as he preaches to the crowds of people. And we read from verse 32. This is page 967 in our church Bible. Acts 2, at verse 32. Peter is speaking of the Lord Jesus. And he says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And we end our reading there at that verse in Acts chapter 2. Well, I want to say just a few words today about someone that I will be praying for in our service later on, I hope, and also someone who will be mentioned in my sermon, I hope. And this person, when he was a boy, he attended church here in Karatz, but he stopped coming to church in Karatz whenever he was at primary school. That wasn't for a bad reason. That's because his family moved away. And on Friday night, this person became the minister of Drimbolgh Reformed Presbyterian Church. The person I'm talking about is John Coulter. I don't know where John sat when he worshipped in Karatz, but he sat in this building for several years when he was a boy. And he went through some of our Sabbath school classes here in Karatz. And now today, for the first time, he'll be standing in the pulpit in Drimbolgh at this very time, known as the Reverend John Coulter, the minister of Drimbolgh Reformed Presbyterian Church. I would doubt that whenever John was a wee fellow running around here in Karatz, that he knew that one day he would be a minister. But God knew. God knew what he had in store for John. And God used people here in Karatz to shape that boy and to help him along the way to becoming what God has made him to be. And God used people here in this congregation to teach John the truth of God's word, to reinforce in his mind the things that he heard in other places. And God used some of you to show John God's good ways. Some of you will have taught him in Sabbath school, And I wonder, when you were doing that, did you think that maybe John would be a minister sometime in the future? We've read here in the fifth chapter of Luke about a man called Simon Peter. And he was a fisherman, and that's what he did. And I think that's all he ever expected to do in life. But Jesus had other things in mind. And Jesus called Simon Peter from working there on the water trying to catch fish. And he made him into one of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus. And today we know about Simon Peter. There's a lot of other fishermen around the Sea of Galilee we've never heard of. But we know about Simon Peter and some of the other fishermen that Jesus called to be among his apostles. And the children and young folk who are here today, some of you really don't have much idea at the minute as to what you will do whenever you're finished your education. Some of you have an idea. Others, you're really not sure. And you don't know at the minute. And you don't need to know at the minute. But God knows at the minute. God knows what he has prepared you for in life. And he will lead you into the ways that he has for you. He did that with John Coulter. He did it with Simon Peter. And the most important way of all is the way of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter did. And that's what John did. And to follow Jesus is the most important thing. You don't need to know what you'll be doing in 5 years' time or where you'll be in 10 years' time, what kind of work you'll be doing, who you'll be mixing with, and so on. But you do need to follow Jesus. And if you follow him, he'll lead you in the paths that are the good paths for you to follow. And who knows what some of you young folk, what God may have in store for you in days to come. And may it be that some of the good things that you have learned in going through Karatz Church will be a blessing to you, and that God will be pleased to use you in his kingdom and use you for the good of others. Now we're going to look to God in prayer now, and as we pray, we want to pray for John Coulter in his first day as preaching in Drimbogue as the minister there. And then also want to pray for Paul Wallace. You know Paul from his time of placement here, and on Friday night Paul is due to be ordained and installed as a minister in Brady Reformed Presbyterian Church, and the family will be moving in a few days' time, the main part of their move, so we can remember them in that move to a different part of the country. And for Paul, next Sabbath day will be his first day preaching as a minister there in Brady. And we'll remember also in prayer the men who have begun their studies, training for the ministry. And the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, are the two exam weeks at the Theological College. This week, it's Tuesday and Thursday, and then next week, it's Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And most of those days, they have exams in the morning and exams in the afternoon, so it's a busy time for those two men, and we remember them. The camps, pray for the church camps. The applications are now open, and we'll pray for an encouraging response. And then we remember also needy folk within our own congregation. So we'll come to God now in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your great ways of working. And we thank you, Lord, for how long ago recorded for us in the scriptures that you took Simon Peter and some of his partners from their work of being fishermen, that you took them from that work to be given the very special responsibility of being among the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we praise you for how you used those men. And we give thanks, O Lord, that you are still working in people's lives. We thank you for how the scriptures tell us that for all your people, that you have a plan in place. And Lord, we ask for our young folk that you will help them. Help them to be able to make decisions as to what subjects they'll study and what direction they'll go in. And we pray that you will lead them, O Lord, to the place where you would want them to be at a particular time. We give thanks for John Coulter. We pray for him. We ask that you'll bless his ministry today in Drumbog. We pray that it will be a special day in that congregation, a day of rejoicing. And we pray for John and Deborah and for their little boy, Daniel. We pray for them as they settle in temporary accommodation. And we pray, O Lord, for that will work out well. We pray that they'll be able to meet people there that they wouldn't perhaps be coming across if they were moving into the manse straight away. And Lord, we ask for your blessing upon John's ministry. Help him in all the new responsibilities that have been laid upon him. And we pray that you will supply all his needs. We pray for Paul Wallace also, and we give thanks, Lord, for Paul. Thank you for all he has done over the years, for the experience that he has. And we pray that that experience will be a great blessing to the congregation in Brady. We pray for Elaine, and we pray for Joel and Heidi and Alexander and Craig and all that this change will mean for them also. And we pray that you will help them, O Lord, that you'll be with them in their move. Pray for the those who will be finishing off their studies in their present place and then changing come after the summer break. We pray that all that will work out well. We ask, Lord, for the men studying for the ministry, be with them in their busy period of exams. We pray that you help them in all their revising and trying to remember. And we pray that you will help them, just keep them well in these days. We pray for Johnny Fitzsimons and for Kenny Stevenson. And we pray for their families. We pray, Lord, for your good hand upon them, that they would know your strength for this testing time. Remember those in our own congregation, O Lord, and we ask for your help for those particularly weak at this time. We pray for Jean in hospital, and we pray, Lord, that the medication that she's on will have a beneficial effect. We pray that you'll turn things around and that she'll begin to improve soon. We pray for Alan and just pray for him as he awaits the latest news from the hospital. We pray that you'll be with both of them in their different places. Now, we pray for those who are in care homes. We pray for Alice and we pray for Tom and we pray for those who look after them. We pray, O Lord, that you would be merciful to them and help them just with the restrictions that they have. And we ask, Lord, for your good dealings with them. We pray for those who are housebound, not able to be out with us at worship at present. And Lord, we pray for your work of healing for some who are recovering and not well. And we pray, Lord, that you will draw near to people. We pray that your word will be particularly precious to those who aren't able to gather for the public acts of worship. We pray, Father, for our church camps this summer. We pray that many young folk will be able to go along and benefit from those. And we pray for those who will serve as leaders and officers and cooks and committee members. And we pray that you will give them all the energy and enthusiasm that they need and that they would be a great blessing to the young folk who will be at the camps. We pray that you will help us, O Lord, as a congregation. We pray that you'll be pleased to use us for the good of others. We pray that you will enable us to be able to reach people who are not worshiping you or seeking your ways. We pray that you will bless the witness opportunities that we have, and that you will help us, O Lord, as a church to be able to reach people. And we pray that there'll be those that you will bring in among us as we seek to do that. Bless your word to us now. Help us as we look to the scriptures. And we pray, O God, that the things that are there in your word, that you would use them for our good and in our thoughts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn to God's word as we read it there in the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. And I want to speak on these first 11 verses here in Luke chapter 5. Speaking on the title, Forsaking All for Christ. That's what we have in the very last verse. They forsook all and followed him. 2 years ago, you weren't here on this Sabbath day, and I wasn't here either. We were probably all at home, or most of us were at home, and there were no public gatherings for worship at that time, and they didn't happen for quite a number of weeks. And then in the weeks that followed on, there were some ministers who found themselves preaching in unusual places or in unusual surroundings. We only had one drive-in service in Karatz out in our car park here. It wasn't the best of days for it, and I don't think I'll ever forget that particular day. But the very next Sabbath day, we were allowed to meet indoors for the first time. Other congregations in our presbytery met for a much longer period using the drive-in services. The congregations of Ballylagan and Dervock, they had purpose-built preaching pods for their preachers to preach from out in their car parks. And things didn't always go according to plan. There were a few hitches in those drive-in services, sometimes because of the weather. John Coulter was on his placement in Ballylagan, and he was preaching in Ballylagan one day, and John was in the preaching pod, and it was a hot, sunny day, and John was preaching not from notes on paper, but from his iPad, and it overheated, and it just cut out and went blank in front of him. And that was a testing experience for a young fellow. But he sort of reorganized things and had singings and prayers and moved out of the preaching pod to a place where he was in the shade, and he allowed his iPad to cool down, and his sermon reappeared. And he was able to preach from the notes that he had, but there were various different strange arrangements that were in place for a time for preaching, and we find a very strange arrangement for preaching here in what we've read in Luke chapter 5. We find the Lord Jesus preaching in an unusual place. So the first thing I want to speak about is preaching from a strange pulpit. At the end of Luke chapter 4, we're told that Jesus was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. But that's not where he's preaching when we come to the start of chapter 5. Here he ends up preaching from a boat, and his congregation are standing on the shore. And this happens by the Lake of Gennesaret, more commonly known as the Sea of Galilee. And we're told that this came about because the multitude were pressing up close to Jesus, and they wanted to hear the word of God. And there just wasn't enough room. Jesus was running out of ground to stand on. And so he got into one of the two boats that were there. And the boat that he got into was the one that was owned by Simon Peter. Jesus asks him to put the boat out a little bit from the land. And then when things are settled, Jesus sits and he teaches the multitudes who are there on the shore. And there he is sitting in the boat and he is teaching them the word of God. And they're standing looking out to the boat and to Jesus in the boat. I'm pretty sure that was a new experience for Jesus and a new experience for the people also. I don't imagine that was something that they had encountered before. Now, it's not the only time in the Bible that we find Jesus speaking in an open-air setting. There are many other places where Jesus is out and about, and the crowds come to him, people who want to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear this preacher who was so different from the other men who taught the word of God that they would have listened to in their synagogues. And Jesus preached from a boat. And in the days of our Lord and in the days of the apostles, there didn't have to be a church building to make the preaching of God's word possible. And that has been the case also in church history. And in the history connected with the Covenanters in the time of persecution in Scotland in the 17th century, ministers were put out of their pulpits, put out of their manses. They were banned from being anywhere near the place where they normally preached. And people ended up gathering together in remote places. And they gathered to hear the word of God. It was an outdoor setting in a place that was far from civilization. And that's what they had to do in those days. And for the people who gathered for those services during the killing times in Scotland, it was a dangerous thing to go and to attend a place where that preaching was going on and there was that public worship. People were risking their lives at times to do that. But they did. They did go and they did listen to God's word being preached there in the open air and in the remote places. So as we think about this occasion here with Jesus preaching from a boat, and as we think of how people throughout history have had to gather together in all sorts of strange locations in order to be able to worship God, let's not be too attached to our church buildings. No doubt there are believers today in Ukraine, and they've lost their place of worship. And that place will not be rebuilt for quite a while, you would imagine. People in China, people in other lands where they're persecuted, they can't meet in the places where they used to enjoy gathering together for public worship. Those buildings have been reclaimed by the government, just taken away from them, handed over for other purposes, and that's the way it is. Yet, people still find a place to meet. People still gather wherever they can gather. And wherever God's people gather, there he will be in their midst. And there his word will be proclaimed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached from a boat. So that's the first thing just to think about, preaching from a strange pulpit. I'm glad to be in the pulpit, but you don't have to have a pulpit in order for the people of God to gather for worship. Second thing I want to speak about is following a strange instruction. Jesus preaching from the boat, that wasn't the only unusual thing that happened that day. After Jesus had stopped speaking, presumably the crowds had moved on, Jesus then tells Simon Peter to launch out into the deep and to let down his nets, Jesus says, for a catch. Simon Peter thought, no, there'll not be a catch. If anyone else had told Simon Peter to do what Jesus told him to do, I don't think Simon Peter would have had any thought of going along with what they said. This seemed to Simon Peter, the fisherman, as being a most foolish thing to do. This went against all the conventional wisdom regarding fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Daylight hours, that was not the time to go fishing, and the deep waters, that was not the place to go fishing. And Jesus told him to go to where he thought was the wrong place and to do it at what he thought was the wrong time. And he was told to let down his nets, but he expected it would all be a big let down. And you can hear that Peter didn't have any expectation of success in what he says there in verse 5. Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, he says, at your word, I will let down the net. So what was Peter expecting? What was he anticipating? Nothing other than an empty net. He had had an empty net when he did the very best he could do. And when he had put all his knowledge into practice, the net was empty. So now when he's going at a worse time and to a worse place, why would he expect a better result? But he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And it was only because Jesus said so that he did it. It was Jesus' idea. It was not Peter's idea. It was Jesus' word, not Peter's. And then the next thing we're told is that when they had done this, and it's presumed that there's someone else with, at least someone else with Peter, presumably his brother Andrew, maybe more than that. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And their catch was so great that they had to get their partners in the other boat to bring their boat over, and they filled the boats with fish, and the boats were starting to sink. Such was the weight of fish that was in the two boats. And this was the thing that really got to Peter that day. Peter, now think about this. Peter had heard Jesus preaching. He had heard the Son of God preaching the Word of God. And no doubt he was glad that he had that privilege, glad that he had that opportunity. But it wasn't the sermon from the boat that really shook Peter. It was the fish in the boat that really got to him. That's what got through to Peter, the fisherman. It was what he saw that made him tremble rather than the things he heard. He could listen to all that Jesus said. That didn't make him tremble. But what he saw happening with his eyes, that caused him to fall at Jesus' knees. And verse 8 it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And Peter doesn't ask Jesus to become part of his business. He doesn't think, well, this is great. If he can do this, we'll be so successful and our business will be flourishing and we can we can just do what he says and everything will be so good. He doesn't think that way at all. He feels himself to be a sinful man. And we're told that it wasn't just Simon Peter that were affected by this event. We're told that all who were with him, they were also astonished. They were astonished at least at the catch of fish. We're told that that was true of James and John, who were partners with Simon Peter. But it's Peter's reaction in particular that Luke wants us to think about, and he puts this before us for our thoughts. Why did Peter react in the way that he did? Why was this something that caused him to see what a great sinner he was? How can that be? Well, I think it's because that what happened here happened in a matter in which Peter saw himself as being the expert. He was the one that knew all about fishing. It wasn't Jesus. Jesus knew about other things, but Peter knew about fishing. Peter believed himself to be in the know as far as fishing was concerned. And yet here, when he goes against all that he knows, he catches far more than ever. And that really, really got to Peter. And he just felt himself unworthy to be in the same boat as the Lord Jesus. He sees that Jesus is just altogether greater than him. And he sees and understands something of his own smallness. What a little fish he is compared to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is altogether greater than him. And he feels his sinfulness. He feels that he is just nothing compared to this great Jesus. He doesn't belong in such company. And Peter is just overwhelmed by the greatness of the Lord Jesus. He sees it in his own realm of speciality. And he just feels himself to be an utterly sinful man, unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus got through to Peter. So many words we hear when we listen to sermons, they don't get through to us. We never tremble at the word of God. But Peter trembled at what Jesus did. Jesus was speaking a language that really got through to Peter the fisherman. And look what happens to this man when he reluctantly sets about his daily work with a view to pleasing the Lord. Peter says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." He did it for the master, and look what happened. And he's overwhelmed when he sees it. And he calls him master in verse 5, but he calls him Lord in verse 8. And that, there's a difference in Peter's thinking there. It's a greater thing to see him as his Lord. And that word in how it's used up until now in the Gospel of Luke, it's a word that's speaking of God. And Peter sees Jesus as his God. One writer, David Gooding, he comments on this experience of Peter, and he relates it to our daily work. Peter's daily work was as a fisherman. And he says about ourselves, he says, "How long is it since we went about a day's work? Not primarily for its necessary material profit or for the enjoyment to be got out of doing it, but primarily in order to please the Lord and obey him." And that's a good question. When was the last time that you went to your work thinking, I'm going to do this because the Lord wants me to do it? Nevertheless, Lord, I'll do it because you say so. I don't really feel like going to my work. I don't expect it'll be a great experience, but Lord, or Master, I'll do it because you say so. Maybe if we went into our places where we spend our time working or we spend our time studying, and if we went there with our Master in view, well then maybe our boats would be full as well. So, in the second place, we have following a strange instruction. And then the third place, I want to speak about receiving a precious promise. What a good thing it is that God doesn't always give us what we ask for. What did Peter ask for? What did Peter want? He wanted Jesus to go away. That wouldn't have been a good thing for Peter. It also wouldn't be a good thing for you or I. Many people just want Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Well, Jesus didn't go away and leave Peter alone. Peter was feeling bad about himself, and it was because of the Lord Jesus, but it was good for Peter to be aware of his sin and to be aware of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. And instead of going away from Peter, Jesus wants Peter to follow Jesus. And so he says to him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And Jesus is speaking of the new work that he has for Peter to do. Peter has just seen a huge catch of fish when he does what Jesus tells him to do. Well, Jesus says, "Now, Peter, I have a different work that I want you to do. And you will be doing a work of catching. It'll not be fish, but you'll be catching men. And it means to catch men alive. It means to catch them alive so that they become followers of Jesus." And these are wonderful words when Jesus says, "You will catch men." Tremendous words for Peter to hear and for Peter to remember, because Jesus had work for Peter to do. And whereas when he had been working as a fisherman and he'd worked all night and he'd caught nothing, Jesus assures him that as a fisher of men, he will catch men. He will catch men. Jesus told him that he would, and he did. And we read in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 are converted listening to the preaching of Peter. Well, that was quite some catch. Jesus said, "You will catch men." Peter stood up and he preached the truth of Christ, and 3,000 were converted on that one day. And Jesus, who had been the preacher in the boat, had trained and equipped and taught Peter, who wasn't a trained preacher. He had taught him to preach the word of the Lord. And Peter was fishing for men, and Jesus enabled Peter to find the words that would get through to those who were listening to him. In Acts 2:37, it says that when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And well, they had to do what Peter had to do. They had to repent, they had to believe in the Lord Jesus, and they had to follow Jesus. Peter had to follow Jesus. These people in the day of Pentecost, they needed to follow Jesus. And in Luke 5, verse 11, it says that when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. These fishermen forsook all. They left that life behind, and they went to follow the Lord Jesus wherever he would lead them. And that's what you have to do in becoming a Christian. You have to forsake all other allegiances, and you have to follow Christ. And there's no room for negotiation there. That's the way it has to be. He has to be your primary allegiance, and you have to forsake all others. There's only room for one Lord, and Jesus has to be that Lord. And the better we are at following the Lord Jesus, the more we will have a heart to be fishers of men, and the more we will be used of God to catch men for him. These are difficult times for Christian churches. And like every other congregation of God's people, we face the challenge of finding ways that are fitting in the present times for our worship, for our service to the Lord, and for our efforts to catch men for Christ. There are many within our ranks in Karatz who are not as able as they were. And yet there are others in whose hearts God has been working and stirring and shaping. And perhaps there are people who are thinking along lines now that you wouldn't have thought about before. And things change. Different times give different opportunities. Sometimes God takes opportunities away, and those things are gone. But he'll open up new opportunities, new ways. And how can we as a church seek to be a church that fishes for men and that catches men? We need to pray about that. We need wisdom for what we put our energies into. Peter would have caught nothing if he hadn't done what Jesus said. He had to go to the place where Jesus said, and he had to let down his nets in order to catch the fish in the nets, because it was the nets. The nets were important. That's where the fish were going to be caught. The nets had to be let down. And Peter went to do that, and he didn't expect anything. He didn't expect to see anything in those nets, but he did. And he was amazed at what he saw. And maybe we are just like Peter. What is your expectation of gospel success for Karatz RP Church? Maybe you have your mental list like Peter had. Here's why it's not going to work. And maybe you have your mental list. 10 reasons why nobody will ever come and be converted and be a part of Karatz RP Church from the outside. We can all think that way. Well, what about thinking about what happens here in Luke chapter 5? Is there not hope in what is in these verses? All Peter did was put the boat out a bit and let the nets down, but it was Jesus that brought the fish in. Peter had to do his little bit, not expecting anything to come from it, but Jesus brought the fish into the net. And it is always by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that sinners are saved. But when Jesus saves sinners and changes people's hearts, then people gladly forsake all that has meant so much to them in the past, if that is sinful. And they gladly forsake that in order to follow him. And who knows in what mighty way God might use those that he saves. And equips them to be fishers of men. Jesus told Peter to put his nets down and see what would happen. And the Lord calls us to be fishers of men. And Peter was told that he would be made someone who would catch men. And Jesus had confidence in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus believed that when Peter taught the gospel, the true gospel, that he would catch men. And we need to have that confidence, and we also need to be willing to go out and let the nets down and see what the Lord brings into the net. Let us strive to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus uses people with low expectations. Peter's expectations were very, very low. Lord, this isn't going to work, he thought. But it did work. And so did his preaching. And 3,000 believed in one day. And that was some catching of men. And that was just the start of how the Lord used Simon Peter to be a catcher of men. Simon Peter, from now on, you will catch men. Amen. We sing to God's praise now, turning to Psalm 97. And in Psalm 97, we sing the first five stanzas. We use the tune Warrington, number 37. Psalm 97, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, all distant shores their joy make known. And the greatness of the Lord is underscored. We're told in stanza 3, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord, for Lord of earth is he. The heavens declare his righteousness, all peoples do his glory see. All worshippers of images are put to shame, all those who boast in worthless idols, other gods, you all bow down before him must. There is one true Lord and God, and he is exalted high above all. Peter saw something of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the great Savior that we are called to follow. Psalm 97, we sing the first five stanzas to the tune 37. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction. Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.